Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, you caught me. I lied. Remember when I signed off Friday and I said, and Eric will be back on Monday? Yeah. Well, Eric wanted to be back on Monday. Eric's voice said, no, we kind of like being on vacation. There's nothing worse to happen to anyone in broadcast or television than to have your voice go out. So thoughts and prayers to Eric trying to get that healing, get his laryngitis over, so he can get that good voice back here and in the captain's chair. I'm Alan Sanders, filling in for him again. You guys are along with me for all 3 hours on Cross Georgia's radio network, The Eric Erickson Show. Heard live in Athens and Rome, Dalton, Jasper, Adele, Valdosta, Vidalia, Clarksville, and in Macon, Eric's hometown. Glad you're aboard. Before we get into some of the politics of the day and some of the news, we're going to be going all over the place, I think, today. I kind of want to talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, that was a pretty big event yesterday. But ironically, one of the things that I want to talk about first is the halftime show. I guess maybe I'm seeing it differently than a lot of people out there. I saw a very fun, very energetic, very high-energy, Latino-based or a Latin-based halftime show. I mean, you invite Shakira and J-Lo, and you're in Miami. And you got people who are losing their minds over the way they were dancing and the way the dancers moved and the quote-unquote crotch-grabbing or doing some things or the striptease, the stripper poles. Look, have you ever seen any Latin dances? Have you ever seen the high energy or even the slower dances where it's very seductive, very passionate, very evocative, very sensual? I mean, I knew what we were going to get when you invite Shakira and J-Lo. You knew you were going to get a Latin flavor, high energy, very sensualized, in some cases you could argue sexualized, halftime show. I will tell you, I only had one tiny issue, and it was a tiny issue, but I did have one issue. It wasn't huge, but I started thinking about it because I am a dad. I've had four daughters. Now, my girls are all grown up for the most part. I have two that already graduated from college. They went to the University of Georgia in Athens. Hoorah, go Dogs. They are now in the workforce. They both are actually renting a house together. They're just like sisters, you know. They fight with each other. They love each other. They like to be together. They wanted to get out from underneath mom and dad's wing. And, you know, my wife and I were totally fine with that, you know. And then my third daughter down, she's in her last year and a half of college. She's at Clemson doing a study abroad right now. Both of my first two daughters did a study abroad. One went to London, England, and studied over at Oxford University for a semester. And then I had another of my daughters go over to Europe and study for a semester, or kind of a half semester. It was weird, kind of a special learning program. I've got my third daughter's in Spain right now doing a semester. And my youngest, who just turned 18 just before the end of the year, is already accepted to college. She's doing dual enrollment right now, like her sisters did before her, gaining college credit already as a senior in high school. So all my girls are a little bit older. And I, as a dad, have had to deal with watching daughters grow up and watching boys come by to want to talk with or do things or take my daughter's places that I have no control or oversight over what they're doing. It's something all fathers eventually have to go through if you have girls. My one issue, and it was, again, a smaller one, but you've got all these adults dancing. You've got this very sensual, very fast, very energetic, very just evocative halftime show. And then you have, toward the end, an all, like, children's choir out there singing with a young, up-and-coming female artist singing solo on the microphone. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't have an issue when it's all adults and you're acting sort of that way. You're sort of, you know, the shaking your hips. I mean, you've got Shakira. I mean, she made a song about shaking her hips. That's just that style of dance. And there's people who are pulling their hair out, lighting their heads on fire. And then you've got the folks who just orange mad bad syndrome. They cannot help themselves. They've got to just make the smarmy comment.
Well, I guess it's okay for the president to grab people's crotches as long as the women on there don't get to grab theirs.
Come on. That's not the same context or the same thing. Now, you can argue, is it appropriate on television? Is it appropriate in front of a mixed audience? That's a whole different conversation. The fact that somebody did one thing in their private or off-camera life versus published on camera, let's try to keep things separate, okay? Apples and oranges comparisons just for the sake of a joke, it rings hollow with me, okay? Billy Graham came out, I think it was one of the evangelical preachers had an issue with what went on with the Super Bowl. Just turned around and the halftime show and just kind of rallied against it. And then I saw some other conservative talking heads on Twitter and Facebook and places just shocked. Oh, the NFL supports women and supports, you know, women's rights and the Me Too movement. And yet we have a halftime show where we have stripper poles and people slowly undressing on stage, licking their tongues and doing all kind of butt waggling. You have to separate the show from reality. And I know maybe that's hard. Maybe we're at that point where because of YouTube, because of social media, because everybody wants to film themselves and put themselves online, they all of a sudden think that they're movie stars or show people. But you're not, okay? We were watching a show. That would be like saying, well, Game of Thrones is a horrible show because it has people doing things illicitly that should only be kept behind closed doors in a bedroom. I know plenty of these same people who would tout the praises of Game of Thrones because of the writing, because of the interaction, because of the storytelling, because it was an amazing show until the last season. The last season wasn't horrible, but it certainly wasn't what the first seven were. You know, we've got a difference. We've got to keep context. And I think that's going to be almost the key word as we're moving forward today and through the rest of this political year. Context. Quotes taken out of context. Phrases interjected out of context. The audience, where are you performing? Who are you performing for? The idea that you're going to go light your heads on fire over two Latino performers who have made a career out of those kinds of dance moves, those kinds of seductive, very sensuous, very high energy dance and singing and song. Come on. It is what it is. It's the halftime show in Miami. It is a show. It is a performance. Nobody is saying from the NFL, or nobody that I know is saying, well, I guess it's okay to start grabbing women now. No. Come on. Use your brains. Stop looking for anything to either make a smarmy, sarcastic comment because you hate the president, or to make some kind of a holier-than-thou, righteous-up-on-the-hill comment. Look, I'd love to hear from you on this because I know there's going to be some issue. I just remember my wife was sitting right next to me. The two of us, she had no desire to watch the game. She had no dog in the fight. Neither did I, except part of me, being an Atlanta Falcons fan, I kind of wanted to see Kyle Shanahan fall on his face again. I mean, he did it with us. We had a, you know, what was it, 28-3 lead against the Patriots 3 years ago? Whoops. Well, now he blew a 20-10 lead, or was it 21-10 lead in the fourth quarter. Gotta love it. And I actually was more in it for Andy Reid. I thought it was great to see Andy Reid, one of the winningest football coaches in the NFL, to have never won a Super Bowl. After 50 years, the Kansas City Chiefs get a Super Bowl. Not since Super Bowl IV have they won the Lombardi Trophy. I was really happy for him. It was a great game. It was nail-biting through the half. You were tied. And then you all of a sudden come back in the third quarter, and you're thinking, okay, here it comes. San Francisco, just that dominant defense. I mean, constantly putting Mahomes on the run. All in all, I was thinking, okay, this is it. But, you know, the game started a little bit early, which was good. It's not too late. I knew I was coming in today. I said, well, let's just go ahead and watch the rest of the game. My goodness, I'm so glad I did. What a great, great game that was. But, you know, the halftime, that's all my wife cared about. We watched some of the commercials. She went to bed pretty much as soon as the game came back after halftime. But I looked over to her and I said, you know what? This is a fantastic halftime show. I am so entertained. I'm loving the rhythm, the beat, the music, the high energy. It's just bam, bam, bam. No politics. Nobody's saying anything silly. Nobody is sounding off cue. The mics are working. The visuals are working. It's just a feast for the eyes. It just looked great. And I said, I get there's going to be people who are going to be upset with this. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, because it's definitely a more, you know, sensual, sexualized, kind of very evocative type show, which is, of course, that style of dance and music. And it doesn't mean that we're going to see anything graphic. It just means that that's the style. Right. And she says, yeah, she said, but that's what they've built their careers on. And I said, I know, but there's going to be people upset. And yeah, sure enough, as soon as the halftime was over, Twitter was on fire. All of the Wizards of Smart weighing in on why it was a horrible show. But 877-97-ERIC, that's 877-973-7425 is the phone number. Across any of our stations, you're out and about, you want to weigh in on the halftime show, you want to weigh in at any point on the Super Bowl in and of itself, that would be fantastic. Don't mind having you out there. You can also, if you would prefer to send social media messages rather than call, you'd rather just send a comment, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I've got them up here in the studio. You can find me at The Alan Sanders Show on Facebook or Alan J. Sanders on Twitter. All right. Well, I guess we've got to move to the next thing here. We've got the Iowa caucuses later tonight, and we'll get into that in just a bit. I wanted to first recap kind of where we are for Friday, because one of the things I left you was a prediction, and I got some of it right and one thing wrong. I guess I got most of it right. Technically, I got it all right. I just got the timing wrong. When we last chatted on Friday, I said, you know what's going to happen here? They're going to have their little discussions. They're going to get their chance to argue about whether or not there's going to be motions, whatever. They're going to argue about witnesses. And I hate how they kept saying things in the news and social media. They kept saying, we need to have witnesses and documents. And then you'd see the opposition or the House manager side. How can you have a fair trial with no witnesses and no documents? And I explained on Friday that that wasn't true. You had 17 witnesses that ran through the House, 18 technically, but 17 were delivered. They had 28,000+ pages of documentation. What they argued about and that vote that took place in the Senate after all the arguments about why they needed to have the Senate go through now and subpoena additional witnesses was it was all about additional, not no. There were plenty of witnesses. There was a lot of documentation. The Senate had packets and packets and packets of detailed information to either follow along with the House managers or the president's defense team, or information that had been handed over after the inquiry that led to the articles of impeachment. If you are out there right now convinced that there were no witnesses and no documents presented to the Senate, you are a victim of being lied to. You have been lied to and you are buying it hook, line, and sinker. Don't be that naive. Don't let the emotion, your anger at Orange Man Bad, don't let that anger taint you to be able to at least have a rational, reasoned conversation. Because what's going to happen is the more emotionally invested you get, you're going to deny that it's emotional. You're going to find other ways to tell yourself, I'm just following what Adam Schiff said. I'm just saying what I heard on the news. I know what I heard on the radio. I know what I'm telling you. You have to be better than just one news source. And you've got to not, first of all, you just can't trust Adam Schiff at all. I've got a soundbite coming up of when he was on Face the Nation in just a bit, but we'll take a short time out. We'll be back. Stick around. We've got more of Eric Erickson Show coming up. Welcome back. Alan Sanders filling in for Eric Erickson. The number is 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. That's 1-877-973-7425. We got a little shorter segment here, so I don't want to get into the Adam Schiff soundbites on Face the Nation. This guy, though, and I don't like labeling people necessarily, especially in terms of some kind of psychological diagnoses, but based on every aspect of the word pathological, Adam Schiff is pathological. I honestly believe if you were to put Adam Schiff on a lie detector and give him seven lies about Donald Trump in a row that he believes to be true, he would 100% pass the lie detector test. He has so convinced himself that the methods, the language, the obfuscation, the intentional acts of being deceitful and deceiving the listener, including the senators in the Senate during the trial so far or the impeachment process, I honestly believe that he thinks it is so worthwhile to get rid of this president that it is no longer an act. It actually is something he believes. He can deliver just the most deceitful comments and one-liners without even blinking an eye. And that has to be a pathological condition within him. He's not only a pathological liar, I think he's bordering on some kind of a sociopath, that he has built up this world in his head to such a degree that that has become his reality, that he doesn't have the ability to look at an actual fact that runs contrary to what he's built in his head and then accept that fact. He immediately dismisses anything factual that runs contrary to the narrative that he has invested his entire mind, body, and spirit into not only presenting as a case, but arguing on media. For the last 3 years, this guy has been out there. Remember, for 2.5, he kept telling us about all of the detailed information he had about the Russian collusion and that the Mueller investigation was going to not only detail all of the stuff that, quote, he saw, but that they were going to get even more detailed information and that they were going to come forward. And he wasn't going to take the wheels off of the Mueller investigation. He was going to let it play out. But all the time, just almost nightly, there's Adam Schiff. I saw the evidence. I know it's there. It's beyond circumstantial. It is factual. It is there. This is the guy that got punked, by the way, by two DJs pretending that they were Russians that had evidence of Donald Trump doing illicit activities. And oh, he was all in on that phone call. I don't know if you haven't Googled it or listened to the audio, just do a quick Google search about DJs scamming Adam Schiff into thinking that they were part of the Russian government trying to get some information to Adam Schiff. It's hysterical. I mean, Adam Schiff is like, he can't keep his pencil sharp enough, fast enough. He's writing so furiously all the notes he's taking down about these two guys calling to his office and scamming him. They punked him hard. And he bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Why? Why would somebody on the House Intelligence Committee, someone who supposedly has access to some of the most sensitive and confidential information in the country about our national security and our defense, someone who understands the maneuverings, or at least has access to memos of the maneuverings of some of the greatest enemies of our country, gets punked by two shock jocks on radio pretending that they're in the Russian government? How does that happen? Unless you have become so emotionally invested in what you want to believe to be true that it's impossible for you to see anything clearly when it relates to Donald Trump. I've got friends. I've got people in my own life that are so upset about Orange Man bad, they cannot help themselves. If there's a way to make a smarmy comment to sort of make some kind of a sarcastic crack, they'll take it, even if it doesn't make sense. They'll just do it. They won't acknowledge any of the accomplishments. They won't acknowledge any of the successes of the country. All while hearing, I think the latest one, you know, there's always groups that look at how many news stories come out about the president, both positive and negative. The most recent news cycle before the end of the year, 93% of everything the news put out on all of your networks, including Fox, when you add it all up, 93% of everything about Donald Trump in the last month of the year of 2019 was negative, 7% positive. How are you expected to perform in your job when you have that kind of negative press, a huge propaganda machine trying to take you down? Add to it social media. Add to it people who believe they're the wizards of smart on blogs and vlogs, people with podcasts, people on regular radio. It's amazing we have the economy we have, that we have the unemployment numbers we have, that we've seen the renegotiation of bad trade deals into good, the fact that this president has not gotten us into war, that he has tried to do everything he can to avoid another conflict, and then he got yelled at for trying to pull troops out of Syria. I don't get it. This president seems to be able to take the left and get them to go back on everything they thought they wanted only because it runs contrary to the agenda of Orange Man Bad. We'll be back. All right, that's my kind of music. Nice. Alan Sanders in the studios with you on the Eric Erickson Show. I'll be here until noon all across his radio network. And for you folks who like to tune in the afternoon and close enough to the center of Atlanta, to WSB, I'll be there as well for Atlanta's Evening News. Eric has an issue today with his voice. He said he was going to try to get it back. Thought he would get it back today, but last night got the call during the Super Bowl and was happy to be able to come in and fill in for him. Hopefully he gets that speedy recovery, but I am always on speed dial just in case. Love being here with you all, by the way. 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, or 877-973-7425. That is the phone number if you would like to join in the discussion. We already talked about the halftime show, talking about Adam Schiff. I do want to do one thing before I get into his Face the Nation discussion, which was, I think, just it's a study in a pathological individual, someone who not only is a pathological liar, but near sociopathic in the way they conduct themselves as it relates to Donald Trump. I'm not saying anything else, just as it relates to this president. It has turned into a near psychosis. Like, this is the only thing, it seems, that Adam Schiff can think about. And he creates such situations. He creates stories. He creates things that have never happened, but he does it so fast and so effectively, he has to be thinking about this nonstop. Some of the things he came up with on the floor when talking and answering questions during the Q&A portion were astounding, creating these outlandish scenarios that never happened but made it sound like it did. He almost made it sound like he was quoting an actual event. How do you think day in and day out to such a degree that you can literally convince yourself that the hypothetical you are answering with another hypothetical is true? I've never seen anyone so quick to do that except, you know, psychopaths, people who are just sociopathic in their thought processes. I do want to remind you that there was a Trump rally in New Jersey on the first of February. And I want to get to someone live from the Sky Fox helicopter was broadcasting, and I want you to hear him describing the crowds coming out to see the president's rally in New Jersey just 2 days ago.
Obviously, this is going to be a record for this arena. That's already being seen here. Nope, this is not a concert. This is not a rap artist, not a country artist, not a rock show. It's only to see the President of the United States go for about 2 hours. These rallies usually go anywhere from hour 20 to hour and 30 minutes, but lately these rallies have been going 2 hours max, 2 hours even in 10 minutes. So you're going to see something that we haven't seen ever done. Think about this. Have you ever seen these aerials? For people to see a president. We've never seen this before.
We've never seen this before. We're not talking about a 23-year-old first-time job sitting up in the helicopter. If you look at the aerial shots, if you didn't get a chance to see any of the aerials, it's close to 100,000 people, it looks like, all coming and lined up trying to get into an arena that seats, what, 18, 20,000 people? It's amazing. People will stand in the cold, in harsh conditions, for 2 or 3 days ahead of time for the chance to be inside during one of Donald Trump's rallies. If Nancy Pelosi was trying to, in any way, shake the support of the president through impeachment, I don't think it worked. And honestly, I think that was the plan. There's nobody in their right minds, and I use that phrase purposely, there is nobody in their right frame of mind that would have ever looked at the impeachment process as weak as it was and said, oh, yeah, this guy's foot's off the bag. He's out of there. Oh, yeah, the Senate's going to take him out. You need 67 senators to vote. Even if you got every single Democrat to vote, you're not getting 20 Republicans or so, was it 16 to 20 Republicans to flip, not on the president with things going as well as they are in the country. You've got to be at least open to reality. The number of people that just lost their minds, talk about at the Super Bowl halftime show, the same number of Democrats who took to social media, lighting their heads on fire when the vote came down to not allow additional witnesses, not no witnesses, not allow additional witnesses, to not allow additional documentation, not no documentation. If you're around somebody who ever says the words, "I can't believe they didn't allow any witnesses or documentation. How can you how can you try a case without witnesses or documentation?" You need to then say, "Wait a minute. You have been fed a lie and you're regurgitating a lie. The vote was not for no witnesses and no documentation. The vote was to expand the witness list and get more witnesses, new documents. The stuff the House could have done but chose not to. The House has the responsibility to do that and chose not to." And why did they say that? If you were with me Friday, I told you it doesn't make any sense to me. They said they couldn't take the time to engage that subpoena process because they just knew Donald Trump would fight it and they didn't have the time. Well, if you didn't have the time in September, October, and November when you had the ability to do the investigation, and then you choose to sit on it for 30 days, and then you finally get the trial underway in the Senate. Now, after 10 days, you want the Senate to go ahead and do what you should have done 3 months earlier? What changed? I think Adam Schiff truly believes that the president should have been voted out. I think he thinks his case was so rock solid, he can't even understand why anyone would bother to challenge it. Do you realize you actually have a movement to have the entire president's team of lawyers disbarred because they believe in their minds that the evidence was so overwhelming that these folks that defended the president had to lie, cheat, and swindle to get you to hear a different version of the truth? There's a movement to have all the lawyers disbarred for doing their job because they are so convinced that the president did something wrong, that the president not only did something wrong, did something that rose to the level of bribery, treason, or a high crime and misdemeanor. Not just a crime and misdemeanor, a high crime. And a high crime, when you think about it, if you've got bribery and treason specifically called out in the Constitution, and the only third option is the high crime and misdemeanor, I'm pretty sure they didn't mean anything that falls well below bribery and treason. It was a pretty thin line they were drawing that said, you've got to do a lot bad. It has to rise to the same level as the crime of treason, the crime of bribery. That high crime has to at least ascend to the same severity of treason and bribery. Now, I want to get to Adam Schiff on Face the Nation because obviously the vote took place on Friday. That Friday vote took place, and Adam Schiff could not believe that the Senate did not roll over. Two senators did, two didn't. Now, I want you to think about this in my whole context of pathological, of being a pathological individual, somebody who is truly enamored with their own belief system. Because if he is, as I say he is, pathological, then he is incapable of mixing or keeping the truth from mixing with his own preconceived notions. He has to come up with his own preconceived pattern. In his mind, the fact that two U.S. senators voted for additional witnesses, you had Collins and Romney, since the two senators voted for the resolution requesting new witnesses and new documentation, in his mind, that means they believe the president is guilty. I want you to hear this because it is absolutely astounding that you've got Adam Schiff on Face the Nation. And let me set this up for you because the question is being asked of Adam Schiff. It's by Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation. She says to him, she says, Jerry Seib of the Wall Street Journal wrote, unlike past impeachment debates over Presidents Nixon and Clinton, this one uncovered little to no common ground between the two parties. What do you think, asking of him, what do you think this impeachment accomplished?
Well, what's remarkable is you now have Republican senators coming in, out and saying, yes, the House proved its case.
No one came out and said the House proved its case. The fact that Romney and Collins voted for more witnesses only meant they were willing to let you have a little more latitude to try to prove your case, but it didn't pass. But he is linking a vote to add more witnesses and more documents to this discussion. So let me go ahead and back up this soundbite from the beginning here and let you hear this whole thing play out.
What's remarkable is you now have Republican senators coming in out and saying, yes, the House proved its case. The House proved the corrupt scheme that they charged in the articles of impeachment. The president did withhold hundreds of millions of dollars from an ally to try to coerce that ally into helping him cheat in the next election. That's pretty remarkable when you now have senators on both sides of the aisle admitting the House made its case. And the only question is, should the president be removed for office because he's been found guilty of these offenses? I think it's enormously important that the country understand exactly what this president did, and we have proved it. I also think it's important that the Senate take the next step, having found him guilty, if indeed that's what they have found. They need to remove him from office because he is threatening to still cheat in the next election by soliciting foreign interference.
But you know,
I want you to, did you hear in that transcript what he said? First of all, after completely changing the what the implication of two yes votes from two Republicans to somehow equate to a vote of guilt. I mean, that already shows you somewhat a troubled, addled brain. Someone who is so psychotically focused on Donald Trump that he has taken a yes vote and he's equated it to a guilty vote. And in fact, did you hear toward the end? I also think it's important that the Senate take the next step, having found him guilty. When did that happen? We didn't even have closing arguments yet. That's happening today. The vote for guilt or acquittal takes place Wednesday. But these words were uttered by Adam Schiff on Face the Nation this weekend on CBS. How many people would have heard those words, quote, that they have found him guilty? I think it's important that the Senate take the next step, having found him guilty. And then he adds, if indeed that's what they have found. He leaves himself just enough cover to go, well, you know, I know they found him guilty in my mind because I have the power of, I am Ace Bengali. I can read thoughts, minds, hearts, intentions. I have this capability. If everyone would just acknowledge that I know in the hearts of men what evil lurks in the hearts of men, I am the shadow, you know, then maybe, you know, fine, he'd be okay with this. But I don't understand how anyone listening to him gives him any credence. He goes on to say, and so the remedy for the president's misconduct isn't available here because the elections, he's already trying to prejudice the compromise with foreign interference. He's already level setting that if Donald Trump wins, the only way it's possible, not because people support him, not because he went out there and got those, you know, record turnouts to his rallies, not because the economy's doing well, not because our trade deals are going well, not because the country's moving in a positive direction, the stock market is going, is great, is gaining ground, growing. No, it can't be any of that. It has to be that once again, the president rigged the election. He's setting the bar for you ahead of time because they know they're not going to win. And I've got that coming up later as well, the discussion about all these different people. And in fact, we're going to get to the back half of this interview soundbite with him. We've got to take a short time out here, But when we come back, we will continue Adam Schiff's conversation with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation and how he lets sort of the cat out of the bag on what this is all about anyway. Because if they had any faith in any of their candidates, including Joe Biden, this wouldn't be happening. And we're going to get that soundbite when we come back. Welcome back. Alan Sanders with you in for Eric Erickson. He'll hopefully be back tomorrow, but I'll be on standby. We all know laryngitis could be the last thing. It's the last thing any broadcaster wants. You could be in a body cast. You could be on crutches. You could have your arm in three places and something growing out of your forehead. But as long as you can talk, you could be. You could still do your job. So wishing him a speedy, speedy recovery. Not even sure if he's listening this morning. He may be just resting, you know, putting the poultice on his chest, Vicks VapoRub, sucking lozenges and trying to drink some herbal tea, whatever he's doing to try to get himself back and well for tomorrow. Let's go ahead and recap if you missed it. I want to play this bite again, and then I'll get to the back half. But Adam Schiff was on Face the Nation on CBS. Margaret Brennan asks, saying, quoting from the Wall Street Journal, Jerry Seib wrote in the Wall Street Journal, unlike past impeachment debates over Presidents Nixon and Clinton, this one uncovered little to no common ground between the two parties. Then she asks, what do you think this impeachment will accomplish?
Well, what's remarkable is you now have Republican senators coming in, out and saying, yes, the House proved its case. The House proved the corrupt scheme that they charged in the articles of impeachment. The president did withhold hundreds of millions of dollars from an ally to try to coerce that ally into.
There's another lie, actually. Putting a pause, but then eventually giving is not the same thing as not giving.
Helping him cheat in the next election. That's pretty remarkable when you.
And when you're investigating corruption of what happened in 2016, how is that helping you enlist an ally to help you cheat in the next election?
Now have senators on both sides of the aisle admitting the House made its case. And the only question is, should the president be removed for office because he's been found guilty of these offenses?
Who,
I think it's enormous.
Who in the Senate has said that the House made its case? We haven't had a vote. But I want to know who. Do you? I can't find anything of any senator who has gone on record and said, not only has the House made its case, but as you heard him just there, but he's guilty. That they know he's guilty. Where was the senators? You can't equate a yes vote to expand the investigation. And here he is. That's the pathological part of Adam Schiff. He's telling you we've convinced Republican senators that we've made our case. And yet they still want to go and get more detail. It makes no sense. Those two things run contrary to one another.
It's enormously important that the country understand exactly what this president did, and we have proved it. I also think it's important that the Senate take the next step, having found him guilty, if indeed that's what they have found. They need to remove him from office because
they found him guilty, which indeed, if that's what they have found, they can't just censor him. See, there's been a move to say maybe we should just go ahead. No, he wants him removed from office.
Because he is threatening to still cheat in the next election by soliciting foreign interference.
But you.
So he says he's still trying to cheat by soliciting foreign interference. So let's continue on because the question goes on from Margaret Brennan. Because she wants to get a little more detail on this, and I think she's trying to lead him to answer the question because it seems obvious. What are you really expecting? What are you hoping to accomplish? What are you going to achieve? And what she says is, but you know the votes aren't there to remove the president from office. As you said, Senator Rubio, Alexander, Portman have all said in some way or another they found the actions of the president inappropriate, but not enough to oust him. So the bottom line here seems to be the president will get away with what they're calling inappropriate. What are Democrats going to do? What do you do next?
Well, first of all, to call solicitation, coercion, blackmail of a foreign power, an ally at war by withholding military aid to get help in cheating the next election, merely inappropriate, doesn't begin to do justice to the gravity of this president's misconduct.
All right, let's just unpack that little piece right there before we get to the top of the hour. Well, first of all, to call solicitation, coercion, blackmail of a foreign power, an ally at war, by withholding military aid to get help in cheating in the next election, merely inappropriate, doesn't begin to do justice to the gravity of this president's misconduct. Where were those words in the articles of impeachment? Where was coercion, blackmail, solicitation, solicitation of what? Bribery? Solicitation of what? See how he works in additional crimes that were never in the original articles to begin with.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.